This is the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Rice.
Welcome into the GOAT. We are live once again for the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. Glad that you are on hand. If you're with us here at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place, they have all the drink specials. They've got terrific food. So if you're just bopping around, stop on in. We'd love to say hi and you can catch some of the show. And if you're just listening, we certainly appreciate that as well. We're going to talk basketball. Second half of the show, we'll focus on the men's team with assistant coach Dorian Green and also point guard Jaron Rilley. We'll start out on the women's side. Assistant Camille Perkins is with us. Guard Hannah Simmental will join us here in a few minutes. Coach, thanks for coming down once again.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to see you. A couple of really close games. Two games ago, a tough loss in overtime at ORU. You back it up with a three-point win against DU. The ladies starting to play a little bit better, don't you think?
Yeah, you can definitely see the just camaraderie of the team starting to come together. The strength and just, you know, figuring out rotations and stuff. You know, you can feel that chemistry starting to kind of blend, which is good. That's what you want to see as a coach, especially stepping into conference play, you know, obviously with the Montanas this week. So we feel like we're in a pretty good position, you know, just from that side of it. Really excited to have them, the Montanas, here this week. So
yeah, and of course, the last two games were part of the Big Sky Summit League Challenge. That's a cool series the two leagues put together. Did you guys like it?
Yeah, I thought it was nice. I wouldn't have mind playing it earlier. I just, you know, playing it right in the middle as you play one game. You know, I think that was kind of tough. But, yeah, I think it was cool just to kind of give it a different look. And, you know, obviously two tough games on the road. The three games in 7 days was, I would say, kind of tough, especially on our kids' bodies. But, you know, obviously walked away with the win against Denver, so that's positive heading into this week.
Yeah, and when you're talking about the timetable, you're talking about starting in Big Sky play, then going back out of conference. It is a little different twist, I would think.
Yeah, and it was right after Christmas, too. So you come back, and then we play at NAU, you know, then you travel back, and then you go to Oklahoma, and then you travel back. And then, so, you know, just getting used to that again. But, you know, I thought our ladies handled it well. So
yeah, non-conference, everybody wants to win, of course,
right,
every game. But it really is preparation for Big Sky play, is it not?
It is. It's just so different. Even the first conference game against NAU, you can just feel like the tension between the two because obviously everything just ramps up. Everyone's playing for seeding in the tournament and obviously a regular season Big Sky conference championship. You know, so that obviously as we step back into conference this week, you know, that's something that we've been talking about, just the overall toughness as you step on the floor every night.
How do you characterize play in the Big Sky Conference? What are some of the traits of the style of play that you'll now see for the next 6-8 weeks?
You know, one thing that we, you know, I think is very unique about the Big Sky is that every night anyone could win the game, which makes it exciting. You know, Montana State, obviously, traditions, they've obviously been they're very well coached, but they're also very known in the top of the conference. So both present different styles. Montana, very high octane offense. Montana State, you know, just grind you out defensively. So, but again, very competitive teams, you know, so top of the league as far as, you know, who we're playing this week.
How much does the intensity level and the level of physical play increase once you get to conference?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we tell our ladies, now everyone has 13 games on you on our synergy, so they can literally, you know, figure out how you score with your left hand, with your right hand. So just, you know, the game planning and scheming obviously ramps up a little bit. And so, you know, just the physicality and stuff is something else that, you know, when you step into conference play, I mean, everyone's trying to win. So just making sure every single night you step on the floor that you're, you know, it's 100%. no matter what.
UNC associate coach Camille Perkins is with us. With Coach Mateo now, you guys have been in the league now. This is your fourth year. Do you feel like
third year?
Do you feel like you've learned the conference, or is that still a work in progress?
Yeah, I think, you know, each team, when we came in, there was quite a few new coaches, you know, Montana being one of them. So, you know, I feel like, and that's been my scout since I've gotten here. So I feel like, you know, each time I go back and prepare for them, I can kind of see similar actions. Maybe they've added a little bit new. Obviously, the personnel changes, but, you know, I think each team kind of presents their own issues and just, you know, figuring out how to defend that and how you're going to score on them. You know, that's what makes it fun. So
we're going to hear from Hannah Simmental here in a few minutes. So let's talk about her. She had the three opportunity right at the end against ORU, couldn't get it down, and then against DU, hit the three-pointer to win it with 1 second to go. She's pretty good at having that backcourt, isn't she?
Yeah, she's pretty good.
15 points per game. She shoots – wait, I've got it here. She shoots 47% from the field and 42% from downtown. That's pretty darn good, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, she's in the gym. You have to almost kick her out sometimes because that's where she lives. And obviously, there's no one else that we would want to take that three. I mean, she practices that all the time. I mean, they're bad for letting her catch because as soon as she caught it, we knew it was going in. So, I mean, we'll put it in her hands at the end of the game as many times as we can. Obviously, in conference, they make it a lot tougher for her to get open and stuff, so those are just all things we have to work through. But, I mean, she prepares, and that's why she has success. So,
4-year player in the program. I mean, the trust level has to be as high as it can get with a player with Hannah, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, that's the one thing as a coach, you just know what you're going to get from her every single night. Obviously, there's adjustments throughout the game that you help her with, but, I mean, she's heart and soul. I mean, everything, you know, we know it starts with her as far as for the scouting report or, you know, us offensively. So, you know, I'm glad she's on our team. I'll just say that and let the other coaches figure out how to guard her, and it's our job to make sure we put her in the, you know, best position to have success.
Yeah, I would think, too, part of that trust factor is not just, you know, will she, you know, can we count on her to, say, score or do what her game dictates, but also to take a good shot in a good situation, to couple the physical abilities with the basketball IQ. It's the whole package, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she understands, you know, time and score, when we need, who needs to take the shot, when we need to take the shot. You know, obviously, there's a defensive game plan too that we can trust her with, knowing, you know, maybe we don't need to guard this person or we need to guard that person. We've kind of moved her around a little bit too defensively, and so, you know, she's obviously accepted that role very well. But yes, there's a high trust factor with her. So
Camille Perkins is with us, UNC women's associate head coach. The Bears against Montana on Thursday night, 6 o'clock, and then Montana State on Saturday. Alumni weekend
alumni
for the women's team. That's always fun to see a lot of the Bears back. I won't say old Bears. Well, if I said it affectionately, of course.
Yeah.
But it's great to see the old the former players back, I would think.
Yeah, no, I think that's obviously, you know, they've kind of set the groundwork, and just, you know, having them back, it's exciting, especially against, you know, rivals like Montana State. So we're excited to have them back.
Yeah, a little bit about the two close games. When games are tight, ORU went to overtime. You took them to overtime down in Tulsa. And then DU went right down to the end. Do you get nervous? Do you enjoy it? Do you embrace it? How do you approach the close ones?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, the ORU game, you know, that was tough. You know, that was the first time as coaches, you know, you could really feel like our team kind of just laid it all out there. We played extremely well. The ball could have gone either way. You know, there's a couple calls late down the stretch that, you know, again, could have gone either way. But, you know, our ladies obviously bounced back and, you know, did what we needed to do to win. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, we tell them we'd rather watch the film and learn from a win than a loss. So, you know, they obviously were able to execute that.
You say you love the tight ones and love those dramatic games down to the wire. Has that always been the case?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I like that. The preparation side of it, you know, I feel like we prepare, you know, obviously, especially like players like Hannah. We have Delaney Byrne as well. You know, those kids just prepare. They're, you know, I'm walking in the gym this morning at 7:45 and Delaney's in there getting shots. And so, you know, you just know that you have, you know, the kids that actually, you know, they prepare and they're ready for those moments. And so that's what makes you excited as coaches. Let them go play. Have fun.
But not every player wants the moment, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely no. But I know we have a couple that do, so luckily, you know, that you do what you got to do to put them in those positions and let them be basketball players.
So is it on a, and we'll talk to Hannah about this, but is it a fear of failure, do you think, for some players that they don't want to disappoint and not come through in the moment?
Well, I think that's probably human nature that nobody wants to, you know, fail someone, but I also think if you've prepared and you have confidence in your preparation, then, you know, you want to take that shot 1,000 times if it goes in, if it goes out. I mean, that's just, you know, how I was as a player, too. I always wanted those moments, so I want our players to have that opportunity, too.
And to come through with the game on the line, how do you describe that?
I mean, it's – I don't know. You'd probably have to ask Hannah, but, I mean –
Well, you were a player, though.
Yeah,
you went through it.
Yeah, I just think you want that moment. You want to hit the big shot. If you don't hit the big shot, you still want that opportunity again. You want that, you know, your coach to have that confidence in you to put the ball in your hands in the last, you know, 5-6 seconds to be able to make that shot. And, you know, you just have to know and trust that, you know, all your preparation and hard work will pay off. So
you mentioned Montana in on Thursday night. You mentioned having the scout. Give us two or three keys that the Bears have to do well in order to get a W.
Well, Montana is number 4 in the country in 3-point field goals made.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. They average 10 a game. Yeah. They shoot it at about 37%. So obviously defending the 3-point line will be very key for us. Over half their shots are threes. They have 5 players on the floor that can stretch at all times. So, you know, that'll be something, you know, that we have to limit. And then obviously they have pretty, you know, good scores as far as they have 5 or 3 kids that are – this is their 5th year. So just, you know, limiting some of that. So, but the 3-point line will be something that we have to really defend.
It's great to see you. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah,
all the best
Mike,
this
thank
weekend.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
UNC Women's Associate Head Coach Camille Perkins. We'll talk to guard Hannah Simmental. It is the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Stay with us. There's more to come in a moment on 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Back on the UNC Coaches Show, live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Glad you are with us. We're talking UNC women's hoops. We'll talk with men's assistant Dorian Green, point guard Jaron Rilley in the second half of the show. We'll give away some UNC swag as well. It's a pleasure to welcome in guard Hannah Simmental. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're feeling all right?
Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm a little under the weather, but
it's that time of year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That time of year. So let's start where we were talking with Coach about late game situations.
Okay.
You had the 3 opportunity late in overtime against ORU.
Missed it.
And yeah, I mean, there it is.
Missed it.
Right? But then you hit it with 1 second to go mm-hmm. against Denver to win the game 59-56 on Saturday. Is it a case where you want the ball with the game on the line?
Well, I always want the ball when the game's on the line, but I really wanted it at the end of DU because I missed against ORU, and of course I remembered that. And I work on that shot all the time with Coach Perkins over the summer, so I was really hungry for it. And when we called the timeout and Coach said, Hannah, you're getting the ball, you're getting a screen, and Coach Perkins said, it's game time, so go to work. And that's just what we trained, and I was excited to get another opportunity to shoot that shot, and Lord willing, it went in this time. So.
Yeah, I know that you want it, but at the same time, do you – I guess the question is, do you fear not making it? Do you fear missing?
I mean, I hate missing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I fear it because I know the majority of the time I probably will miss. But I don't know. I've just always been wired to want to take those shots. I think coming from a basketball family and a brother and an older sister who I've seen, you know, take those shots and miss it and, you know, all the pain that we have when we do miss it, but it almost makes you more hungry to shoot it again so that you can make it. So
the miss against RU motivated you last Saturday against DU.
Yeah, I mean, whether I made that one too, I would have wanted to do it again.
Right,
But I would say I was a little bit more hungry and I was excited for the opportunity.
That was a close game against DU.
Yeah.
When it's back and forth, nip and tuck, close all the way through, do you have sort of an awareness during the game that every possession could be the difference if when you go
oh,
back
definitely.
When the game's over?
I mean, every possession mattered, and we saw it go the other way against ORU.
Yeah.
So when we were playing DU, I knew that, you know, especially when we get into that fourth quarter, execution is so vital and important, but also getting stops on the defensive end, which we struggled with a little bit. But then DU luckily went a little cold, and we switched to our man, and we were able to lock in and at the end of the day get the win.
You said you don't look at numbers much. Is that really true?
Well, I try.
Players say that all the time, and then, you know, it's like, yeah, I know I'm out here or there.
I don't know. Obviously, sometimes I know my numbers after Coach Perkins or after a game, and they let me know, but I never try and focus on those things because I don't want it to, you know, affect how I play, or if I shoot the shot and I miss, oh, my number's going to go down. I don't like to think that way.
Right.
I prefer to just play the game more free-flowing, and if I work hard and play hard, you know, the numbers will take care of the rest of so.
UNC guard Hannah Simmental is with us at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show. We're live at 46th Avenue in Center Place. You shoot about 42% from three-point range this year. When did you realize growing up that you just had a you could shoot the basketball?
Well, I actually couldn't shoot the basketball.
So then, what's the backstory?
So my freshman year, well, I actually did ballet, and then I quit, and then I went back to basketball, and then I did it in middle school, and I wasn't taking it very seriously. But, again, I'm from a basketball family, and they took it seriously. So I was in the gym all the time. And then my freshman year, I wasn't shooting the ball very well. I was kind of shooting. Oh, no, I'm talking about high school.
High school.
So
okay.
My freshman year in high school.
At Pueblo West.
At Pueblo West, I wasn't shooting the ball very well. So my sophomore year, I went to my dad, and I was like, Dad, I need to be able to shoot the ball. Like, I want to get better, and I want to do this. So we took the whole summer, and all we would do is get up at 6:30 before he went to work, and we'd go to the YMCA, and we would only do one-handed form shooting and ball drills. And I remember hating going to the gym because that's all we did. We would do form shooting, ball drills, form shooting, ball drills. And then eventually I worked back to being able to do, like, one-handed form shooting from the three-point line. And once I could do that, then he let me shoot two-handed. And so by the time I got to it was in the semester, I was still getting up really early and going before school with my dad. And then after that year, I just was really dedicated to shooting. And once we got the fundamentals down, it kind of just becomes like clockwork. Like, you get in the gym, put shots up, and the rest will work out.
So the talent really showed after the work was put in.
Oh, of course. Of course. I would say that I was not a good shooter, but luckily I had the support, like my dad and my brother and my sister, to help me and motivate me. And I kind of fell in love with the work as I got older. And then once I got to college and I didn't have my dad to train me, I kind of had to figure out what my niche was, and it was shooting. So I would get in the gym, get on the gun, because I didn't know how to train by myself my freshman year at the time. So I would just shoot a ton of shots on the gun. And then as I've developed...
Now, what's on the gun mean?
The gun machine that they have at the school where you shoot it and it rebounds it back to you.
Okay.
So I'd spend hours on that. And then as my career grew, I learned how to train on my own. I got coaches that really helped me. And the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's fun to watch you shoot, because it's one thing to shoot, and it's another thing in game situations with the speed, the pace, the pressure defensively.
Yeah.
As you think back to your transition from Pueblo West to Big Sky basketball to UNC basketball, it took some time?
Oh, of course, yeah. I luckily was given the opportunity to play a lot my freshman year. I got to start with that coaching staff, so I got a lot of experience early on. And I would say that really helped me going into my sophomore year of college. But going from high school to college was definitely different. Luckily, I also played on a really good club team, so I was playing against, like, the top kids in the country, so that really helped me, preparing me for the level of college. But you never really know till you get there. The speed's so different. I mean, the preparation is so different. There's just so much more that goes into a game. So,
well, we've got Hannah Simmental here, UNC guard, for a few more minutes. We're live at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show. So when you think about going from high school to college, adjusting to the speed of the game. Now, as a senior, you and Delaney are the two seniors, I believe, counted on, and the two best players. I think that's fair to say. What about the leadership qualities? What about that side of it? When did you start to sort of realize that's going to be part of my role as well?
You know, I think I kind of noticed that a little bit last year with the young group that we had. We had 10 freshmen, and I was one of the only returning starters, so I kind of took on that role early on. I've learned a lot this year that it's a lot more important to know every individual and how they want to be approached. Not a lot of people, you know, want to get yelled at. A lot of people just want to be like, it's okay, you got it, more positivity. So I've learned that just by building relationships with my teammates and, you know, becoming closer and having so many freshmen that did come back from that year. So I was really close to them. And I always just tell them, like, you're never going to play with this team probably again. People are going to leave. People are going to graduate. So you really need to cherish these moments. And I think that's it's not hard to lead a team that cares a lot. So
yeah, you guys had a real close game 3 games ago at NAU. Very close against ORU. Very close against Denver. Do you see this team getting better?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Perkins already said it, but against ORU, we really started to notice people, like, owning in on their roles and, like, buying into everything. And, I mean, we laid it all on the floor that game. It could have gone either way. It should have gone our way, personally. Yeah. but I just think that knowing our roles and just being dedicated to each other in the process is really what's helping us.
How do you describe the difference between non-conference and conference basketball?
Conference is just so much more personnel and getting to scout more and knowing the team's tendencies, where when you play non-conference, it's like, okay, we don't really know this team. We're going to go in with this idea, but they could totally do something different. Where conference, you can look back at the years of the head coaches who have been there. What do they like to do when you throw a 2-3 zone at them? What do they like to do if you pick them up full court? And you can go back with the synergy and the data that they give you and go back tons of years to see what they do. So I just think that the preparation and the personnel is just so much more important in conference.
Do you feel like with all the freshmen last year now having a year of under their belt, that they'll be more prepared for what's coming in the
definitely.
Big sky?
I mean, a lot of those freshmen got a lot of playing time last year. So especially like Gabby, our point guard, she's just so experienced for a sophomore. I mean, she played 30 minutes last year in game, so that's really going to help us, having an experienced point guard, being able to navigate the floor, those kinds of things. You know, you don't think they matter, but they do, especially in conference.
You play any point?
I actually have played point guard every year, but that's not really my true position.
Well, no, you're a shooter.
I like to score the ball. Any type of way. But I did play point guard last year towards the end of the season and the year before that, and even in club. So I don't mind it, but it's kind of nice to have them deal with that, and I can deal with some other things.
In a pinch, you could do it?
Oh, definitely. If I needed to, I could own in on my role. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, as a point guard.
Oh, yeah.
If Coach A, Gabby's in foul trouble,
it's happened to us before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but just being experienced and being able to handle the ball, I just think that it comes with some IQ and experience, and that's something that I have, and I don't mind it. So.
That's awesome. All the best this weekend.
Appreciate
Montana
it.
On Thursday night.
Yep.
Montana State on Saturday afternoon. Thank you, Hannah.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you.
Hannah Simmental, guard for the UNC women's basketball team, as the Bears take on Montana. 6 o'clock on Thursday at Bank of Colorado. It is the Bank of Colorado Coaches Show. We're going to give away some UNC swag here in a minute. We'll talk men's basketball right around the corner on 103.1 and 1310 KFKO. Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show continues. We are live at the GOAT. Terrific sports bar. They got all the games on. They got the drink specials. Terrific food as well. 46th Avenue and Center Place. Fun to talk UNC women's basketball in the first half of the show. And we turn our attention to the men's team here in the second half with assistant coach Dorian Green. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Mike. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, guys are rolling a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Winners of what, 4 or 5?
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Yeah, sorry. No, you beat DU. You outlasted the Pioneers. That was a fun one, wasn't it?
No, I think, you know, obviously getting some momentum with Air Force, you know, going into break, and then just coming back, I think it's starting to kind of piece together, right? So it's taking a little bit of time, you know, obviously for us, a little bit longer than what we ideally wanted, right? But I think, you know, we're starting to kind of figure it out. Our rotation is settling in, and guys are, you know, bought into the roles and really playing, you know, really well and fulfilling those roles. So I think more than anything, it's just we've had a ton of new faces, right? right, and just kind of trying to figure it out, right? And we had a couple injuries here, a couple injuries there, and so we've just been piecing it together, but I think we've kind of started to find that rhythm, and the guys are playing well, and so hopefully we can kind of keep it rolling going into this Montana trip.
Yeah, that'd be fun in Big Sky play. Offensively, 83 points or more in four of the last five, no jinxes. But what's been the difference? Because all of a sudden the shots started falling, you guys worked for good shots and got good looks. What's been the reasons for the turnaround?
Well, I think it's more of just things are starting to click. And like once that rotation got settled, I think guys were able to be a little bit more comfortable in what, you know, they were being asked to do and playing a little bit more to their strengths. And you know, for us, too, as a staff, it just really trying to figure out, like, you know, putting guys in the best places for them to be successful, right? And so it's just taking a little bit of time, and our guys have just stuck with it. And the ball's moving. We're sharing it like crazy. And so it's a fun team to watch. And I think we're getting a higher quality of shot right now than we were, you know, I don't know, a month ago or so. So I think that's just come with time. But I think we're getting good shots, and guys are stepping up in rhythm and making them. So I just got to kind of stay with it.
Yeah, and Coach Smiley has talked about the commitment to getting into the lane, the front of the rim. That's been big, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're a team that, you know, really traditionally, if you saw us, you probably think that we play from the outside in, you know, the last few years, right? Shooting a lot of threes and then getting to the lane. And I think with this group, it's reversed. We're really good from two. We've got a lot of guys that are really good getting downhill from multiple positions. We can post guys one through five. I mean, we've just got a lot of guys that can do a lot. And I think for us, our biggest strength was getting us to play from two and getting into the paint and then going to the outside from there. And so I think really if you look at the box scores, we're not shooting as many threes as we were earlier, but we're making them at a higher clip. And we're probably making more than we were earlier, which just means we're getting a higher quality shot.
Well, it's interesting. We're with UNC assistant coach Dorian Green here on the Coaches Show. St. Thomas, Jaron Rille, Langston Reynolds, Brock Wisney. I mean, you can go right down the roster. I've left guys out. Every single one can take the ball off the bounce and drive to the front of the rim. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I think so, right? Like, we have a lot of guys that, you know, can obviously score from two, but they can play from three.
Yeah.
So you just got to pick your poison on how you're going to guard guys, okay? If you help off, well, then we just spray it and we can make threes. And so if you stay stuck and don't want to help, then we just get downhill and kind of go to work from the paint. So I think that's the good thing about our team is we can beat you in different ways. And I think we've kind of settled into our groove of what's the best way for this team to play. And just got to kind of stay with it and keep staying on the attack. I think we've been really really aggressive from the offensive standpoint of just trying to stay downhill, being on the attack, and it's made us really hard to guard.
I love what Jaron did against North Dakota. He had 30 points.
Yeah.
But then against DU, what does he have, 6 points, you know, 8 rebounds and 10 assists?
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
No,
it's like whatever it takes, and it seems like the whole team has this mentality.
100%. I was getting ready to say the same thing. I think the whole team is like that, right? Like, we have a lot of guys that they know that they're capable, right? We have a lot of guys that can score if it's necessary, but just trying to find the best shot for the team and guys that can really pass. I think the thing with this group is not only do we have capable passers, but we have willing passers.
Yeah.
And so the ball is just, you know, being shared, and it's a fun way to play basketball, and I think you've kind of seen that in the last, you know, 3 or 4 games of just how connected our group has been, and that's been the fun thing to watch.
But Dorian, where does that come from? Because at whatever level of basketball, whether it's the peewees or the pros, the desire to take the shot and be the man is prevalent. And yet this group, I mean, I remarked during the DU game, how many times did we see somebody make an extra pass to set up a teammate that got a better shot? And you don't see that all. Where does that come from?
I mean, honestly, it just comes from the guys, like themselves. You know, I think they bought into each other and they bought into the fact that, you know, the sum of the parts, right? This is a group that's the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
We've got good individual players, but the collective unit is where we have a chance to be really good at. So I think it's just to them. I think it's an understanding that we're better when we share it. We've got a lot of guys that are capable. So when you're open, obviously be aggressive and let that thing fly. But if not, just get off of it. Let's get to the next action and just find the best shot that we can. And so I think, like we were talking earlier, that's been the biggest change for us offensively, is that we're just getting really good shots, really high quality shots, and that's where our efficiency has really started to kind of skyrocket.
It is the UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place, talking men's basketball with assistant coach Dorian Green. Jaron missed the first 5 games with the elbow injury. It seems as if, as he has settled in, the level of play, especially offensively, everybody has sort of responded to that. Is that fair to say?
100%, right? Like, I think we knew coming into it, you know, I always say that he's our quarterback, right? So he makes life easier for everybody else. And you know, with the ball in his hands, you just trust him to make the right play. And obviously he's got an ability to really see the floor at high IQ. And so he's a fun dude to play with because when you're open, you're going to get it, right? So when he got hurt, we just kind of had to figure it out. We were moving pieces around, and we were having to play differently than what we were really expecting to play. And then getting him back in Cancun, and then it was just kind of getting his rhythm back. He'd miss a ton of time. And so and he played really good against Radford, but it was just kind of his first game back, a little bit of adrenaline. So we knew that, you know, the rhythm was going to come, the timing was going to come, and as we got him back into the mix, it just allowed everybody else to kind of play more to their natural roles. And so I think that's really helped the group.
You're a former CSU Ram.
Yeah.
And now you're working with Coach Smiley to build this program back up. There's got to be some gratification. It's got to be gratifying to see we are making strides. We're taking strides, especially even losing the Big Three from last year.
Yeah.
This might be more of a team in that sense than what you guys had a year ago.
Yeah, I think so. I think what we saw last year was, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work. Like, we just didn't kind of come together, you know.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, kind of going into a little bit of a reset, we knew we were going to have a lot more new faces. And so, you know, getting, you know, pieces – basketball-wise and personality-wise that we thought would fit. And we kind of had to get lucky. You know, this is what our assumption was, and it kind of has played out to be true. So, I mean, knock on wood, hopefully that stays the same. But we just thought, like, all right, getting guys that were really compatible and not kind of trying to overdo it and knowing that we were going to be different. We did a lot more isolation with those three cats last year just because they were good one-on-one.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, didn't work and for whatever reason. And so we just kind of had a little bit of a reset. But, you know, I think the standard for us has been the same. We were, you know, 2 years away from going to, you know, 40 minutes from going to March Madness. So we understand a lot of these guys that are getting bigger roles now, they were part of that group, right? Just younger and not really necessarily having big roles at the time, but they were part of that group that made that run. So they know what it is. So I think it was just an understanding of we're going to be different. We got to figure it out, but the standard's still the same, and what we're trying to accomplish, you know, doesn't change.
Final few minutes with UNC assistant coach Dorian Green. The Montana Grizzlies are Thursday night. Did you have that scout?
I do, yes.
Okay, so give us the in-depth report or what you can share. That's a good basketball team on their home court on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a fun one, man. I think the biggest thing for us is to execute the game plan. Not really going to tell you what it is.
No,
right?
Don't want to do that. They're listening, you know.
Yeah, you never know, right?
That's right.
No, I think we know what we're getting from Montana. It's going to be a tough one, right? You know, they're physical, they defend, and a lot of these guys that are on their team have been there the last couple of years. So it's just about being solid, being disciplined, and going in there and throwing punches, man, because we know what to expect out of them. It's always a great trip. This is my favorite trip of the Big Sky, right? Montana and Montana State. Doesn't mean it's the easiest one by any means, but it's always the funnest one. So it's going to be a good one. They're playing well. You know, I'm excited to see what we can do.
Yeah, the difference, and we were talking with, you know, Coach Perkins and Hannah, the difference in conference, I mean, it's palpable. I mean, you can tell. It's time. It's kind of go time now.
No doubt.
Everything changes.
No doubt, right? I think for us at our level, you know, we always talk about it, you got to be really good for 1 week in Boise. And so right now, as you head into conference play, it's just about, you know, setting yourself up for the best seed you can have once you get there. And so, you know, we know that Montana State traditionally in the last few years have been up in that top third. And so that's going to be a good challenge for us and see if we can go on the road and steal a couple and come back home and kind of play with some house money. So, yeah, you know, you got to go on the road. If you want to win a title and you want to win a league championship, you got to steal some on the road. And so it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I think it's going to be a fun weekend.
Coach Smiley has talked about how he loves where the team is, not just the play on the court, but the connectedness, the cohesion, the continuity off, the camaraderie, all these C's, it's special that way. I mean, do you sense that this could be a special group?
I think so. I mean, I think we're at the point now where you're just starting to see it click, man. And really, these guys have been like that since, you know, June when we had them here. And it was the first couple of weeks, and we had all these new faces and all this stuff. And we're just saying, hey, like, just figure it out, but be connected. Whatever we do, play together, be connected. And, you know, at the end of the day – You know, my old coach used to always say, you know, the toughest team and the most connected team is the one that's going to win, right? Throw scheme, throw all that stuff out of the window. At the end of the day, like, do you love playing with the guys that you're playing with? Will you play for them? And will you guys play for each other? And I think that's where you know, you get the special teams, right? Like, X's and O's, whatever, right? We can figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just getting a group of guys that are willing to play for each other, sacrifice for each other. And right now, you know, we're doing a great job of that. And I think it's starting to show on the floor.
Yeah, it was remarkable against DU. Every time you guys needed some sort of answer offensively, not only did somebody provide it, but it was usually somebody different.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at it, right? Like, we've had guys step up all year. Theo was out for a game or so, and Juju came in and gave us great minutes. I mean, you can say that about everybody.
DeShore's
been out, and Zach, you know, stepped up and made shots. And, I mean, you can go on and on. There's multiple guys that we're leaving out here. But I think that's the thing where you look at this team, and Coach Smiley said it all year. Like, we have depth. We have real depth. And so I think it's starting to kind of play out. I mean, we have guys that are still trying to crack the rotation that are deserving to play, but other guys are just, you know, settled in and playing well. And so we just got to, you know, carry that on, because at the end of the day, it takes everybody, right? Everybody's role is important, whether you're, you know, scoring the most or you're on scout team for us. Like, we value every role. I mean, it's to win, it's really hard. And so we need all 15 guys and everybody, you know, pushing the same direction. And so I think right now we're in a good spot, just, you know, more of the same.
Yeah, more of the same, and it starts or continues
yes.
on Thursday in Missoula. All the
awesome.
Best.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Dorian Green, UNC men's assistant basketball coach. We'll have Dorian stick around and do a drawing for us for some more UNC swag, and then we'll hear from point guard Jaron Rilley right here on the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Coach's Show continues live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Terrific hangout. All the screens are fired up with the games. I got my eye on that Wake Florida State game. I got a personal connection to Wake, so I pull for the Deacs. Anyway, that's a story for another day. We're talking UNC men's basketball, and guard Jaron Rilley is with us. Good to see you. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're finally healthy. The elbow injury, what, like 2 weeks before the season started?
Yeah, something like that. Pretty soon before.
How worried were you for really your health throughout the season? Did you think you were going to be able to come back that soon?
I mean, when it happened at first, I didn't really know exactly what was going on. I was just kind of over there dealing with what was going on in the moment. And then we got to the hospital, it kind of started to hit me more. You know, with what they'd been talking about, with what I'd heard, I probably didn't think I was coming back. But then they said I didn't have to get surgery, and, you know, all the ligament damage was pretty minor and stuff like that. So yeah. I was just happy to be able to come back at some point during the season.
And then you sort of, I guess, capped the comeback in a sense with the 30 points Wednesday night against North Dakota. But then, Jaron, against DU, you had what, like 6 points, 8 rebounds, and 10 assists, a completely different statistical game for you. It doesn't matter to you, though, does it, what your line is?
I mean, no, not really. You know, I was frustrated with myself. Some of the shots I missed, I'm used to being able to make those and stuff like that. But in a sense of the statistics, it doesn't really matter too much. I mean, we came out, beat a good DU team, and first half we were really beating them. In the second half, you know, they got some dangerous scores, so they got back into it. But we came out with a win, and that's what matters.
The shots really started to fall as a group against Air Force, and you guys have continued it now for about – 4 or 5 games. What's been the difference?
I don't think there's been any major difference. I think it's just kind of everyone's starting to get comfortable with each other again, and, you know, we got a bunch of guys that stay in the gym, and, you know, at some point everything's going to find their averages, and we were down in the season, so we were bound to have a couple games where we're getting hot.
And you started a little bit cold from three-point range. You're now up around 36-37%. Do you feel like the shot is kind of, you're finding that rhythm again?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, starting to feel a lot more smooth. The first couple of games, I mean, the Radford one was a little bit, it seemed like an anomaly after it happened because, you
some
know, I was
struggles.
There, I was there, yeah. That one I didn't struggle as much, but, you know, some of those games after, and it just got really frustrating. But then, like I said, things find their averages, and so I'm just happy to be back to where, the spot where I'm comfortable with being.
So let's get into your story a little bit as we visit with guard Jaron Rilley on the Coach's Show at the GOAT. you're listed from Australia, but you've spent a lot of your time in the United States. Now, you explained this to me earlier in the year, but I'm getting on the older side now, so you got to explain it again. But it's kind of been a combination for you between the two countries, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I lived in Australia for the first 8-9 years of my life, and then going to fourth grade here, that's when we moved over to the U.S. We lived in Boise, Idaho. My dad was up there at Boise State coaching, so we moved up there. It was a big change. We lived in Idaho for, 8 years? They built a pretty good program there. My dad had an opportunity to go down to UC Santa Barbara, and so we moved down there, and I lived there for my junior and senior year of high school.
And then have you been back to Australia as a resident since your youth?
This past summer, I actually got the chance to go back over. So my dad's over there.
Right. He's coaching there.
He's coaching over there, so I got the chance to go over there and kind of do a lot of the preseason stuff with their team. And, you know, some other – they got a really good spot out there. And other people from Perth, like on the Australian national team that were out there this summer when I was down there. So that was cool to get to go do that experience. And it was also the first time I've been back over there in probably close to 8 years.
Yeah. Now – how did you find your way? You said you were a senior in high school in Santa Barbara, California.
Yep.
How did you find your way to Samford University in Alabama?
So I went to a school in Missouri called Linkier. They now have the high school team called Link Academy. It's one of the best high school teams in the country. But I went there for prep school.
Okay. After your senior year?
After my senior year of high school. And we had a really good team. I think we had 8 or 9 guys that went on to play Division I basketball from there. So
wow.
We had a ton of coaches in and out. And one of the guys that was on one of our teams there actually played high school for the coach that ended up getting the Samford job and who actually ended up going to play for. So just kind of that connection and then going from there. And then with COVID and stuff, I didn't really get to go visit. So I just kind of had to go off a lot of what my teammate had said about the coach and what he knew and obviously talking to the coaches and stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of from there.
And then the decision to go into the portal and your journey to Northern Colorado, how did that come about?
You know, so when I entered the portal, my dad knew Coach Smiley a little bit already through the Jeff Linder connection.
There's always a connection in basketball.
Yeah, there is. And then also my dad had been at Boise when Coach Green was at Colorado State. When he was playing, my dad was coaching, so that was another connection there. And just kind of through all the initial Zoom talks, phone calls, all that stuff, and then came out on a visit, played with the guys, and then from there just making a decision.
Saint and Day-Day have talked about how they felt just the fit right away during the visit. Did you feel the same thing?
No, I did. I mean, when I came and played, I felt like that fit, being able to play with some of those guys. You know, there was a lot of opportunity here as well. And so I felt like there was a good opportunity for me to come and be able to make a big step in my growth as a player. And I just took the leap.
How much do you look forward to now, as you guys exit non-conference play, getting back into the Big Sky Conference for 6-8 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we had a good start to it about a week ago.
Yep.
Got the win against Northern Arizona. And, you know, at this time we're starting to play well. It's at a good time starting to get into conference. And that's when you want to be able to play your best going into, you know, February, March, and then forward from there.
Do you? I mean, coaches study tape, so they've seen your first half of the non-conference season. But do you think that there's still an element where other players don't really yet know who the Bears are?
I mean, for sure, especially, I think, because we have so many new guys.
Yeah.
Anytime a team has new guys and kind of a new way of playing, and, you know, a lot this year we have a lot of guys involved, so that's probably new compared to what they saw last year, so definitely different for guys that have played against them.
Okay, I got to ask you this in our closing moments. I love how you drive into the lane, stop on the pivot, twist around a little bit, and then kind of create a little contact and shoot. Is that natural for you to be amongst the trees down there?
I mean, yeah, it's just something that I've always had to deal with, being a lot shorter than I am now. When I was younger, I was always the smallest one out there. So now, having grown a little bit and kind of grown into my body, just being able to continue to use that at my height now.
So, you like getting in the paint, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's generally where the best shots come from.
I asked Hannah earlier because, you know, she